breakfast. Hollis tosses a napkin at his brother. He's not wrong. There are only two women in this bar. They're around our age, hot as fuck, and they also happen to be making out with each other in a corner booth. 95% of the men here, myself included, have already snuck glances at the lip-locked chicks. The other 5% are busy lip-locking each other. Fine, you losers. Brody heaves out an exaggerated sigh. You don't like this place? Let's go. Where? His little brother asks. Where there's girls. Done and done. 3 minutes later, we're climbing into Fitzy's car and following Brody's Audi across town. Nice wheels, I remark, gesturing to the shiny silver car ahead of us. He leases it, Hollis informs me. He likes to act like a big shot, but he's really not. Gee, Fitzy drawls from the driver's seat. Sound like anyone you know? That gets him a middle finger from our teammate. Dude, I'm more of a big shot than your pansy ass. You didn't even get laid on your birthday this week. I wasn't looking to get laid. Trust me, if I was, you wouldn't have seen me at all that night. We barely saw you anyway. You went home early to play video games. To demo the game I designed, the other guy corrects. I don't see you doing anything productive with your time. Actually, using my dick is very productive, thank you very much. I hide a grin. It always boggles my mind how these two could be such close friends. Hollis is a loudmouthed bro with only one thing on the brain, chicks, while Fitzy is serious and intense with only one thing on his brain, gaming. Or maybe two things, seeing as the guy loves getting tattooed. Somehow they make the friendship work, though it seems like it's mostly through bickering and flipping each other off. We pull into a gravel driveway and park in the spot next to Brody's. His Audi doesn't look out of place with the rest of the cars, but it doesn't fit the bar either. A neon sign over the nondescript building blazes with the words, Boots and Shoots, which are positioned underneath a half-naked girl riding a bull. Hollis gapes at the sign. Seriously? A Western-themed titty bar in Boston? This is gonna suck. He looks like he wants to punch his brother. Aren't you Miss Mary Sunshine? Brody throws an arm around Hollis and waves for us to come forward. You babies wanted pussy? Well, here you are. Is this what happens after you get out of college? You have to pay for pussy? Hollis hangs his head. I'm never leaving Briar, bro. Ever. I chuckle. Hey, think of all the leftover hockey groupies you'll have access to when Garrett or Logan start playing for the pros. That immediately perks him up. Good point. And look, he points to the sign. Now you don't have to leave Boston either. Who needs to move back to Texas when you've got cowgirls right here for you? Tempting, I say dryly. But I think I'm sticking to my original plan. Unless my mom suddenly acquires a taste for the East Coast, I'm moving back to Patterson after I graduate. I'm not sure our small town is a good place to start a business, but I could always try to open something up in Dallas and come home on the weekends. Mom sacrificed a shitload to get me to where I'm at now, and I'm not leaving her alone. The strip club reeks of sweat, smoke, and desperation. At the front of our group, Hollis's brother slaps something into the hands of the bouncer, and they have a short conversation. No touching, private dances start at $5. He waves a waitress over. Front row, stage right, he tells her. Everyone starts moving. Everyone but me. Got a problem? The bouncer's sharp voice gets me moving. Nope, I say easily. But I kinda do. I got a big problem, in fact. A fucking huge problem. Because under the heavy eyeliner and the big hair, I recognize the waitress. Hell, I've had my hands and mouth all over that exposed skin. Sabrina's startled gaze locks with mine. I see all the color drain from her face, which is saying a lot because she didn't go easy on the blush when she applied her makeup. Right this way, she mumbles. She spins around with a swish of dark hair, but not before I see the flash of warning in her eyes. Got it. She doesn't want me telling the guys that we know each other. I don't blame her. This is probably awkward as fuck for her.
What kinds of chicks work this joint?
Hollis says as he leers at Sabrina's incredible backside, which is barely covered by the tiny shorts she's wearing.
Hot ones, Fitzy replies.
That's an understatement. The girls here are more than hot. They're goddamn spectacular. Source, my eyeballs. Tall ones, short ones, curvy ones, light, dark, and everything in between. But my gaze keeps snapping back to Sabrina as if it's attached to an invisible string that's controlled by her perfect ass.
I take back every rude thing I said about cowgirls in the parking lot. Any one of these girls can ride me.
Heat curdles in my gut. I don't like the idea of Hollis or any of the dudes in this place getting ridden by Sabrina. She's mine.
You okay? Fitzy asks. You look pissed.
I take a breath. Yeah, sorry, I was thinking about the team. He buys that. That's enough to make anyone mad. Come on, let's get a drink and forget about hockey. I nod absently, too mesmerized by the center of Sabrina's back. It's completely bare except for one measly string that looks like it would unravel if I blew against the bow. My gaze drops lower, taking in the elegant indentation of her spine, all the way down to the top of her black satin booty shorts. By the time we arrive at the stage, I'm sporting a semi, which is fucking embarrassing. Getting a hard-on at the mere sight of a girl's ass isn't something that's happened to me since high school. I force my eyes upward in time to avoid a table full of frat boys. One of them reaches out to slap Sabrina's ass as she sways by him. A jolt of rage shoots up my spine. I shove forward, but a bouncer sitting at the base of the stage reaches the punk before I do.
No touching, asshole.
He hauls the polo-shirted kid to his feet.
Let's go.
Hey, I'm sorry, the asswipe protests. It was reflex.
But the bouncer doesn't listen and the guy is dragged out anyway. His friends just watch him go. Hollis grins.
Strict fuckers here.
We need that guy on our team, Fizzy observes.
No lie.
Sabrina holds out her hand.
Anything I can get for you boys?
Her voice is barely audible over the loud dance beat blaring through the club.
Whatever you have on draft.
I keep my eyes fixed above her chin, which is a fucking miracle. I don't miss the unhappiness washing over her face. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to guess she's embarrassed, and I don't know how to tell her that where she works doesn't make a shit's worth of difference to me. Brody flops down in the chair next to mine. He rests his forearms on the tabletop and leans forward to watch the half-naked woman dancing 5 feet away from us. The tall redhead is in the process of wiggling out of her G-string, leaving her in nothing but a leather holster around her waist and two fake guns.
And for you?
Hollis's brother tears his gaze off the naked cowgirl and glances at Sabrina.
Whiskey, neat.
Coming right up.
Thanks, baby.
With a strained smile, Sabrina disappears, and somehow I manage not to lunge across the table at Brody. Sabrina's not his baby. If he calls her that one more time, I'm not sure I'll be able to restrain myself from beating the living crap out of him.
She looks familiar, Hollis yells in my ear. The waitress, doesn't she?
I shrug.
Don't know.
Fitzy turns to study her as she leans forward to take orders at a nearby table.
I guess she looks a little like Olivia Munn.
No way, she's a million times hotter than her.
Hollis declares. Then he shrugs.
Whatever, maybe I don't know her.
His brother grins.
I'll ask her later why she looks so familiar. You know, when she's on her knees in front of me.
I clench my fists against my thighs. I have to, or I'm going to pound Hollis's brother into mincemeat, and then Hollis will be pissed off. I like Hollis. Luckily, Brody decides to stop being a creep, as if on some subconscious level he figured out how close I was to straight up murdering him. He turns to me and says,
Mikey mentioned you're going to start your own business.
I nod.
That's the plan.
Got something in mind?
I'm kicking around a few ideas, but I haven't settled on anything yet. I've been focused on hockey.
Yeah, I hear you.
But once I'm done with school, I'll evaluate my options. If you need help, let me know. I've got a couple ins with some new opportunities. Really ground floor stuff. I'm not sure how much cash you've got, but these investment opportunities aren't open to the public. One day you're in for a couple hundred G's, and 3 years later you're a billionaire when Facebook buys you out. He snaps his fingers as if it's just that easy.
Sounds interesting. Maybe I'll give you a call when I'm ready to make some decisions.
I'm nodding again, but really I have no plans on calling Brody Hollis for investment advice. I'd rather not get suckered into some pyramid scheme, thank you very much.
Sabrina returns with a tray in her hand, and all my attention instantly belongs to her. She sets down our drinks, standing right at my shoulder.
Figures because I'm the least likely to play grab-ass with her, and not because she wants to rub her tits across my cheek.
I'll be back in a bit to check on you,
she murmurs before darting off. Jesus. I stare at her in admiration, wishing I could run after her and give her a hug. Serving a bunch of briar guys, not to mention one she's slept with, can't be comfortable for her. She could have asked her boss to be switched to another section, but she didn't. She continued to do her job as if our presence doesn't affect her at all. For the next half hour, the guys and I watch the strippers do their thing. Well, the guys watch. Me, I'm wholly focused on Sabrina. I sneak glances at her every other second, barely paying attention to what's going on around me. I vaguely register laughter and catcalls and snippets of conversation, but my entire world has been reduced to Sabrina James. The sensual sway of her hips as she walks, the high heels that make her long legs look impossibly longer. Every time she walks past our table, I fight the urge to pull her into my lap and kiss her senseless.
How much does a girl like you cost?
A loud voice slurs from behind me.
I'm not a dancer.
My shoulders stiffen when I recognize Sabrina's voice. The woman on stage has just finished up, and the music volume has dropped a few notches while the next girl gets ready to go on. When I twist around in my chair, I find that the obnoxious frat boys are at it again.
But you would be if the price was right,
one of the douche canoes drawls.
No, I just serve drinks.
From where I sit, I can see the tension in her slender shoulders.
What if I want more than a drink?
Douche canoe taunts.
Trust me, you don't want to waste your money on me. I'm a terrible dancer.
Her tone is light on the surface, but steely beneath it.
You need anything else?
Sweetheart, I'm not asking for a Broadway show. I just want you to shake your tits and ass in my face. Maybe rub up on me a bit.
That's it. I've had enough. I don't miss Fitzy's look of confusion as I push out of my chair and march over to the douche table.
She said no, I growl.
The main douche smirks at me.
She's a fucking stripper, dude.
I fold my arms across my chest.
She said no, I repeat.
From the corner of my eye, I see Sabrina edge backward.
Where do you get off?
Douche canoe demands.
Mind your own business, or all.
The chair legs behind me scrape against the floor, and a douche canoe shrinks in his seat as over 600 pounds of angry hockey players stare down at him. Fitzy is particularly menacing with his two full-sleeve tattoos and the cut over his eyebrow that he got during our last game.
You what?
I ask, lifting a brow.
Nothing,
the frat boy says sullenly. That's what I thought. I bare my teeth at the assholes before the boys and I settle back in our chairs. It takes me a second to realize that Sabrina is halfway across the room. She turns briefly to glance at our table. When our gazes meet, there's unmistakable sorrow in hers. Before I can stop myself, I pull out my phone and send her a quick text. I don't know if she still has me blocked, but it can't hurt to try. I'm sorry about that. I don't expect a reply, so when my phone buzzes 3 minutes later, I'm genuinely surprised. But then I'm pissed, because she texted back, "Did you follow me here?" It takes me a minute to regroup. I sip my beer, take a breath, and then answer her with,
"Meet me at the restrooms?" This time she responds right away. 5 minutes. For the next 4 minutes, I have to force myself not to stare at my phone or set a timer. Impatience bubbles in my gut, intensifying with each passing second. By the time I rise to my feet, I'm tense as fuck. Hit in the head, I mutter, but the guys pay me no attention. Hollis and Brody are too busy shoving dollar bills in the stripper's G-string, while Fitzy watches them with a bored expression. I thread my way through the crowd of mostly men toward the doorway on the other side of the dark room. Boots and Shoots has gone overboard with the Western theme. Saloon-style doors separate the bathrooms from the main room, and the wooden signs on the restrooms read Gunslingers and Fillies. From behind the Fillies door, I hear the muffled sounds of female moans intermingled with male grunts. Classy.
So did you?
I whirl around at Sabrina's voice. She stalks up to me, her arms crossed tightly over her chest in a way that causes her cleavage to spill over her bra.
Follow you here, you mean?
I flatten my lips. No, darling, I did not. She studies me for several seconds before nodding.
Okay, I believe you.
Then she turns to walk away.
Oh, hell no.
Sabrina,
I say in a low voice. She stops.
What?
Something inside of me melts when I hear the crack in her voice. She keeps her back to me, her spine like a metal rod. By the time I reach her, any indignation I felt over her unfair assumption has faded away. I gently touch her arm to shift her around so we're facing each other. Sabrina? I keep my voice soft, safe. She visibly swallows.
This is where I work.
I give a slow nod. This is where you work.
That's it? You've got nothing else to say about that?
I stroke her bare shoulder with the pat of my thumb, gratified to feel her shiver. This is your place of employment. You get paid to work here. You use those paychecks to pay your bills, I'm assuming. What else do you want me to say? But I know what she expected from me. Judgment, contempt, maybe a lewd comment or two. I'm not that man, though. She keeps watching me until finally a small smile plays on her gorgeous lips.
I'm waiting for the part where you tell me you never come to these places. Your friends just dragged you here against your will, yada yada.
I'd be lying if I said I'd never been to a strip club, but I kind of did get dragged here tonight. I voted for the sports bar, and the only reason I even came to Boston was because I trail off. Because the last thing I want to do is scare her off again.
Because what?
Fuck it. I shrug and say, I was hoping maybe I'd run into you. Sabrina laughs.
Boston's a big place. You really expected to randomly run into me?
Expected? No. Hoped? Abso-fucking-lutely. That gets me another laugh. We stare at each other for a beat. My voice comes out gravelly as I murmur,
you unblocked my number.
I unblocked your number. She agrees. Then she moistens her bottom lip with the tip of her tongue, and I swallow a groan. Fuck, I want to kiss her.
I should get back to work.
There's only the tiniest sliver of reluctance in her words, but a sliver is all I need. When do you get off?
2.
Do you want to hang out when you're done? She doesn't answer right away. I stand there, holding my breath, hoping that the raw, overpowering lust I feel for her doesn't show on my face, praying that she'll say,
yes.
Chapter 9. Tucker. I wait for Sabrina in the parking lot. Almost all the cars are gone except for a half dozen that probably belong to the employees. The guys went back to Brody's apartment a couple hours ago, where they'll probably stay up all night drinking. I told them I was meeting a girl for a late bite, which got me a high five from Hollis, even as he griped about what a shitty person I was for not making sure she had a friend. After they dropped me off at an all-night diner a few blocks from the club, the site of my supposed date, I killed an hour by grabbing a burger and chugging some coffee so that I wouldn't fall asleep within 5 minutes of seeing Sabrina.
Then I walk back to Boots and Shoots, and now I'm leaning against the driver's side of Sabrina's Honda, monitoring the front entrance in anticipation. When she appears, my excitement kicks up a notch. She's wearing a wool coat that goes down to her knees. Below that, her legs are bare. My dick twitches as I wonder if she's still wearing those booty shorts. Then I chastise myself because I could tell how embarrassed she was earlier by the skimpy outfit. "Hey," she says as she reaches me. "Hey." I want to kiss her, but she's not sending any "come here, big boy" signals. I need to touch her, though, so I step closer and tuck a strand of hair behind her ear. Hesitating, she bites her lip. "Where are we going?"
"Where do you want to go?"
I'm leaving the decision entirely up to her. "Are you hungry?"
"Nope, just ate. You?"
"I had an energy bar during my last break."
I wink at her. "You thought you'd need energy, huh? Why is that?"
Her cheek takes on the cutest shade of pink. I see her fighting a smile, and when it breaks free, I do an internal fist bump. She's so gorgeous when she smiles. I really wish she'd do it more often. She glances around. "Your truck's not here."
"Yeah, it's back in Hastings. We drove up in Fitzy's car."
She nods and nibbles on her lip again. Well, what should we do then?
No pressure. I move even closer, loosely resting one hand on her hip while the other traces the line of her jaw. My pulse speeds up when she doesn't shy away from my touch. "We can walk around, just chill in the car and talk, whatever you want."
Sabrina lets out a sigh that leaves a white puff in the cold night air. "I don't feel like walking. It's cold out and my feet hurt from being on them all night. And my car is way too small for you. You'd be uncomfortable in 5 seconds.
"Do you want to go back to your place?"
She tenses up.
"Not really."
Another breath slides out.
"I don't want you to..."
"To what?"
"I don't want you to see where I live."
She sounds defensive.
"It's shitty, okay?"
My heart squeezes a little. I don't respond because I'm not sure what to say.
"Well, not my bedroom,"
she relents. "That's not shitty." Sabrina goes silent as if she's fighting some internal battle.
"I meant what I said before," I tell her in a soft voice.
"No pressure.
But if you're worried that I'm going to judge where you live, stop right now. I don't care if you live in a mansion or a shack. I just want to spend time with you, wherever and whenever."
When I rub her lips with my thumb, the tension seeps out of her shoulders.
"Okay,"
she finally whispers.
"Let's go to my house."
I search her face.
"Are you sure?"
"Yeah, it's fine. I'd rather be somewhere warm and cozy right now. Not that my house is warm and cozy, but it's definitely warmer in there than it is out here."
Having made her decision, she unlocks the driver's door and slides behind the wheel. I get into the passenger side. And she's not wrong, my legs are not digging this vehicle. Even when I push the chair back as far as it can go, there's still no room to stretch out. She starts the car and pulls out of the lot.
"I don't live too far from here."
After that, she doesn't say much for the rest of the drive. I don't know if she's nervous or if she regrets agreeing to hang with me, but I hope to hell it's not the latter. I don't push her to talk because I know how skittish she can be. Patience is the name of the game here, and patience with Sabrina James comes with a reward. She's got so much passion that it's simply a matter of helping her reach a level of comfort that allows her to let go. When we turn onto her street, I pretend it's the first time that I've ever been here, that I don't recognize the narrow, ramshackle row houses, that I hadn't slept in my car right over by that uneven curb the night I followed her home to make sure she got there safe. Sabrina turns into a driveway at the side of the house, steering toward the small carport in the rear. She kills the engine and exits the car in silence.
"This way,"
she murmurs when I round the vehicle.
She doesn't take my hand, but she does check to make sure I'm following as she climbs the 3 low steps of the back stoop.
Her keys jingle softly in the quiet night as she unlocks the door. A moment later, we step into a tiny kitchen. It has ugly yellow and pink patterned wallpaper, and in the center sits a square wood table surrounded by 4 chairs. The appliances look old, but they're clearly in working order because dirty pots and pans are strewn atop the stove burners. Sabrina blanches at the mess.
My grandmother always forgets to clean up after herself, she says without meeting my gaze.
I glance around the cramped space.
It's just the two of you here?
No, my stepfather lives here too. She doesn't elaborate, and I don't ask for details.
Don't worry though, Friday is poker night. He usually stays out and then stumbles home sometime around noon the next day. And Nana takes an Ambien every night before bed. She sleeps like the dead.
I wasn't worried, but I get the feeling she's not trying to reassure me, but herself.
My room's this way.
She ducks into the corridor before I can say a word. I trail after her, noting how narrow the hall is, how dirty the carpet is, how there aren't any family photos hanging on the walls. My heart starts to ache, because the droop of Sabrina's shoulders tells me that she's ashamed of this place. Fuck, I hate seeing her look so defeated. I want to tell her about the peeling paint in our own place down in Texas, about how for the eternity of high school, I slept in the tiniest room in the house so Mom could use the larger bedroom for her in-home hair salon that supplements the income from her hairdresser job in town. I keep quiet, though. I'm following her lead here. Her room is small, tidy, and clearly her source of refuge. The double bed is perfectly made with a pale blue comforter. Her desk is immaculate, overloaded with neatly stacked textbooks. Smells clean and fresh in here, like pine, lemon, and something addictively feminine. Sabrina unbuttons her coat, shrugs it off, and drapes it over the desk chair. My mouth waters. She'd thrown a t-shirt over the skimpy bra that constitutes a work uniform, but she's still in those little shorts and the heels. Jesus, fuck those heels.
So, she starts.
I unzip my jacket. So, I echo. Her dark eyes track the movement of my hands as I toss the jacket aside. Then she shakes her head abruptly, as if trying to snap herself out of checking me out, I guess. I hide a grin.
I meant it when I said I didn't want to get involved, she says.
I know you did. That's why I haven't called. I wander over to the desk, scanning the titles of her textbooks, all gazillion of them. There's a small cork bulletin board on the wall, with pictures tacked on it. I smile at a shot of Sabrina sandwiched between two other girls. The one on the left has bright red hair, and she's sticking out her tongue while squeezing Sabrina's butt in an exaggerated fashion. The one on the right has long, thin braids, and she's smacking a kiss on Sabrina's cheek. They obviously adore her. I feel a spark of approval knowing there are at least two people out there who have her back.
My girls, Sabrina explains, coming up beside me. She points to the right. That's Hope. She points to the left. And Karen. They're my angels sent from heaven, seriously.
They seem cool. My gaze travels over the other pictures before landing on a white piece of paper with the Harvard emblem on the corner. Holy shit. I breathe. Is that what I think it is?
Her entire face lights up.
Yep, I got into Harvard Law. Fuck yeah! I swing around and yank her toward me for a hug. Congrats, darling, I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of me too.
Her voice is muffled against the side of my neck. Oh boy, this hug was a bad idea. Now all I can concentrate on is the way her round, full tits are pressed up against my chest. I swear her nipples are hard, too. Sabrina's breath hitches the moment she feels the change in my body. Sorry, I say ruefully, easing my hips back. My dick got confused. A laugh pops out of her mouth. She tilts her head to look up at me with humor and heat. I'm definitely seeing a spark of heat in there.
Poor guy, she murmurs. Do I need to explain to him the difference between a hug and a fuck?
Jesus. This girl is not allowed to say the word fuck. It sounds too much like a promise when it's leaving those pouty lips. I think that's wise, I answer solemnly. Though he's not the smartest fella, you might need to give him a hands-on tutorial.
She lifts an eyebrow.
What happened to no pressure?
Ah, I'm just playing. No pressure at all, babe. Except for the pressure behind my zipper, that is. She goes quiet for a moment. We're no longer hugging, but still standing only a few inches apart.
Honestly, she says, I tend to function better under pressure. Sometimes I need a little push.
I hear the unspoken question, but although my cock gets harder, I force myself to show restraint. I won't push you, not unless I'm 100% sure it's something you want.
I study her expression.
Is it what you want?
She moistens her lips. It is.
Not good enough. Tell me exactly what you want.
You. I want you.
Be more specific. Fuck, I'm a masochist apparently, but this girl has turned me down twice since we slept together. I need to make sure we're on the same page.
I want you. I want this. Her palm covers my package, and my erection nearly hammers its way out of my pants.
Where do you want it?
My voice is pure gravel. In my mouth.
Goodbye, restraint. Sabrina James literally took a wrecking ball to it with those three lust-drenched words. I'm kissing her before either of us can blink, and it's the kind of kiss that goes from 0 to 60 in a hot second. My tongue slides through her parted lips in a greedy stroke. She gasps with delight and kisses me back, her tongue tangling with mine for a few mind-melting seconds before she kisses her way toward my neck. Her breasts rise as she inhales deeply, and the soft moan she gives zips right to my balls.
You smell so good, she whispers, and then her lips are all over me,
traveling along the tendons of my neck, rubbing over my collarbone, tickling my chin, pretty much driving me crazy. She slides one hand between us and rubs me over my pants. She doesn't unzip them, doesn't reach inside. I don't know if it's because she's teasing or waiting for the push she supposedly needs. Since I don't have patience for the former, I seize onto the latter. Take my dick out, I say roughly.
Her lips curve teasingly. Why would I do that?
You said you wanted me in your mouth.
I clench my fists to my sides.
So put me in your mouth.
She makes a sweet little sound, a cross between a whimper and a moan and a sigh. I feel her fingers trembling as she pops open the button of my jeans, but I know it's not nerves because her expression is smoky with excitement. I wanted to do this that night in your truck, she confesses, but I was too impatient to feel you inside me.
She delicately draws my stiff shaft out of my boxers and curls her fingers around it. I kick off my boots, then yank my jeans and underwear down, kick those away too.
Shirt, she orders, sounding amused. I want to see your chest.
This girl is gonna kill me. I peel off my shirt and then I'm standing there naked in front of her. She remains fully clothed, if you could call booty shorts and a whisper-thin t-shirt clothes. As her heated gaze eats me up, I send a quick thank you to the hockey gods for inventing such a grueling sport. Hockey's a tough, dangerous game that requires hours of training. It's given me muscles in places I didn't even know had muscles. And now, all that hard work is paying me back twofold by putting this hungry look on Sabrina's face.
Your body is insane, she informs me.
I chuckle. Pot, kettle. I reply before cupping her tits over her top. She swats my hands away.
Don't distract me. I have a job to do.
I flash her a look of challenge. I figured you'd be good at multitasking, considering you're always so busy.
Oh, I can multitask like a pro. I just don't want to right now. I want to savor this.
She voices the seductive promise while slowly sinking to her knees. Her hair falls over one shoulder as she peers up at me. Christ, I've never seen a hotter sight. I reach down and rub her mouth with my thumb. I want to see those lips wrapped around me. I want to see her throat working to take me in. Suck me.
a rumble when she continues to kneel there without touching me. She hears the tortured note in my voice and takes pity on me, leaning forward to kiss the tip of my cock. She offers the tiniest flick of tongue, but that alone is enough to send an electric current up my spine. Oh man, I'm not gonna last long at all. I cup the back of her head and urge her closer. On command, she opens her mouth and half my length slides in. Wet heat surrounds me, making me groan. It's fucking amazing, and that's before she starts working me with her tongue. Ah, fuck. I choke out when she licks the sensitive underside. Sabrina laughs and the sound ripples through my shaft and pulses in my balls. She torments me with slow, lazy pumps of her hand. Deep, wet pulls of her mouth, sweet, gentle licks of her tongue, and the entire time she's making the hottest noises I've ever heard, tiny whimpers of arousal and breathy moans that confirm she's as close to losing it as I am. I stroke her hair. It's so damn soft, silky as it moves between my fingers. I rock my hips, slowly because I want to make this last. But when her mouth suddenly slides forward until her lips are wrapped tightly around my base, there's no stopping the orgasm. Buried in her throat, I go off like a firecracker. It happens so fast I don't even have time to warn her. Sabrina, I croak, trying to pull out. And she just moans and tightens the suction, taking everything I have to give. The pleasure is so intense it almost fells me. My knees knock together. My brain stopped producing coherent thoughts right around the time she put her mouth on me. Eventually, I register the soft caress of her hand over my thighs, the tickle of her fingers along my shaft as she gives one final stroke before rising to her feet. "That was fun," she tells me. I sputter with laughter. "Fun? Talk about an understatement." "It was fucking incredible," I correct, yanking her toward me. I kiss her until she's breathless. My legs are still shaking, but my hands are rock steady as I methodically pull off her t-shirt and then tug on the string that's keeping her bikini-style bra in place. Our mouths still locked, I nudge her toward the bed, advancing on her until she has no choice but to fall onto her elbows and stretch out on her back. I pop her heels off one by one, taking the time to kiss each of her shapely ankles. Then I get rid of her booty shorts, whip them across the room, and reach for the heels again. Sabrina raises a brow. "You're putting them back on me?" "Hell yeah, I am. You have no idea how hot you look in these heels." I ease one small foot back into a stiletto, then the other. When I'm done, I stare at her for a long, long moment and wonder how I ever got this lucky. She's all long limbs and sweet curves and smooth, olive-toned skin. Her dark hair is fanned out behind her head. Her red lips are glossy and parted. And those fuck-me heels. Christ. She's the ultimate wet dream. I rise on my knees and shuffle closer. My dick is waking up again, but I ignore him. He can take five while I play a little. "I can't get over how beautiful you are," I rasp, bringing my hand between her legs. When I rub the pad of my thumb over her clit, her hips jerk off the bed in response. I smile. One barely there touch and she's already hot for me. Or maybe she got hot when she was giving me a blowjob that belongs in the history books. I trail my finger down her slit toward her opening, groaning when I discover that she's soaking wet. "Did I do this?" I mutter. Mischief dances in her eyes. "Sorry, but no. I was pretending you were Tom Hardy the whole time I was blowing you." "Bullshit." I push one finger inside her and she squeaks loudly. "You knew exactly whose dick was in your mouth." Sabrina squirms against my probing finger. I add another one, curl them both, and stroke her inner channel while my thumb teasingly circles her clit. "Fine, I knew," she gasps out.
Who needs to picture a movie star when you're already a fantasy come to life?
Damned if my ego didn't like hearing that. And my cock definitely likes the way her pussy is clenching around my fingers. I remember how tight she was the last time, how good it felt. Once again, I forget that I'm trying to be patient. Groaning, I spread her thighs with my free hand and lean down to bury my face where my dick wants to be. When my tongue touches her, she moans loud enough to wake the dead. Hopefully that sleeping pill her grandmother took is doing its job. Otherwise, we're in for a mighty awkward interruption. I kiss and lick and suck and play until my body can't take it anymore. Until my mind shuts down again, empty save for one thought. Need to be inside her. Wrenching my mouth away results in Sabrina's grumble of disappointment. My beard has left pink splotches all over her thighs, but she doesn't seem to care. She's squirming and scissoring her legs, a sexed-up look on her face. "Tucker," she begs. "Hold on, darling." I lean over the edge of the bed to grab my pants, then whip out the condom in my wallet. She watches me suit up. Her gaze is no longer cloudy with frustration. It's on fire, blazing with anticipation. "Get inside me," she orders.
"Yes, ma'am."
With a grin, I crawl back to her, one fist grasping my dick to guide it inside her. We both groan when I drive in deep. Apparently, it's not deep enough. Her legs, long and silky and incredible, instantly wrap around my waist. She digs her heels into my ass and lifts her hips to deepen the contact, and it's the best fucking feeling in the world. I drop down until my elbows are resting on either side of her head. "Beautiful," I mumble, staring down at her flushed face. I dip my head and kiss her again, while my cock pulses in the tight heat of her body. I try to keep it slow. I try my fucking hardest, but Sabrina has other ideas. She shoves her hand in my hair and pulls until our mouths break apart. "I need more." She sounds as desperate as I feel.
"Tell me what you need."
"This." She grabs my hand and pushes it where we're joined. Her fingers cover my knuckles and she urges me to stroke her clit. "And this?" She bucks upward and starts fucking herself on me. And that's the game, ladies and gentlemen. My slow, measured pace explodes to dust. In its place, pure animal fucking. I drill into her with everything I've got. The heel of my hand stays glued to her swollen clit, rubbing in time to each frantic thrust. Within seconds, we're both sweaty, breathless messes. The mattress spring creaks from the force of our fucking. The headboard slams against the wall in a rhythmic thump, thump, thump that matches the wild pounding of my heart. She comes before I do, clutching my shoulders as she shudders beneath me. The blowjob had taken the edge off so I last longer. Hell, longer than I want to, because I'm dying to come. Every muscle in my body is coiled tight, screaming for release that's still out of reach.
"Let go," Sabrina murmurs.
And then her fingers dig into my ass cheeks. One drifts along the crease and that's the game. I shoot with a hoarse cry. I forget my name. I probably black out for a minute. I feel loopy and wonderful, and my balls are still tingling. But I think I might be crushing her, so I force my weak body off hers and collapse onto my back. "Holy fuck," I mumble, staring up at the ceiling. "That was..." A knock on the door cuts me off.
"Having fun in there?"
A slurred male voice drawls.
"Because it sure sounds like it."
Sabrina freezes like a deer in the middle of a country road. The sex glow she's been sporting fades instantly. Her face turns ashen, her fingers curling into the bedspread.
"Go away,"
she snaps at the door.
"What? You're not gonna introduce me to your friend? Don't be so rude, Rena."
"Go away, Ray."
but the son of a bitch isn't going anywhere. He starts rapping on the door again, drunken laughter echoing in the hall.
Let me meet your friend. Come on, I'll be nice.
Sabrina jumps off the bed and starts snatching up pieces of clothing. I quickly do the same because it's obvious that lying around naked isn't in the cards. She throws on a tank top and a pair of cotton shorts, then stalks to the door and flings it open. Get the fuck away from my door, Ray. I mean it. The man in the doorway pushes past her, craning his neck to get a good look at me. When our gazes lock, he laughs again.
Oh, you've got yourself a little jock buddy. Check out the muscles on this one.
His greasy hair flops onto his forehead, and he swings his head towards Sabrina.
You like the muscles, huh? Yeah, you definitely like them. Heard you squealing like a bitch in heat all the way from the living room.
Get out, Sabrina growls.
You sound hot when you come.
Fuck this. Anger boils in my gut as I charge forward. I don't give a shit that this man is Sabrina's stepfather. The sick fuck is not allowed to speak to her like that.
That's enough, I say in a low voice. She asked you to leave.
His eyebrows shoot up.
Who the fuck are you to give me orders? This is my house, boy.
And this is her room, I retort. Tucker, she starts, but Ray interrupts her.
Rena, tell your jock to shut his trap, otherwise I'll shut it for him.
Yeah, right. I could knock this fucker out with one punch. He's so drunk he's swaying on his feet. Ray? Sabrina's voice is deceptively quiet. I'd like you to leave, please. Silence hangs between the three of us. Finally, Ray rolls his eyes in a dramatic fashion and edges back to the door.
Jeez, you really are a stuck-up bitch, aren't you? I was just playing around.
Play somewhere else, I say coldly.
Shut up, jock boy.
But he doesn't stick around. We hear his unsteady footsteps in the hallway. A moment later, a door shuts. Slowly, I turn back to Sabrina. My stomach twists with concern, and there's a pang of fear, too, because I hate the idea that the asshole sleeps only two doors down from her. Before I can speak, she tucks her hair behind both ears and says, I'm really tired. You should probably go now. My gaze darts to the hallway. It won't bother me, she whispers, as if reading my mind. I lock my door at night. I'm not sure a locked door will keep that fuckhead out. Ray isn't as tall or bulky as I am, but he's not puny either. Doughy, yes, but not puny. I'll be fine, she insists, and the look on her face tells me she's as eager for me to go as I am to stay. Are you sure you'll be all right? I finally ask. She nods.
Okay, I guess I'll go then.
I slide my phone out of my pocket and pull up my Uber app. Then I take a needlessly long time with it, hoping that she'll change her mind. She doesn't. She waits silently while I track down a car, then walks me to the kitchen, holds the door open for me, and murmurs a soft, good night. She doesn't kiss me goodbye.
Chapter 10. Sabrina. I'm not sure if you've blocked me again. On the off chance you haven't, you're fucking spectacular in bed. Your hot body almost eclipses that sexy brain of yours. Almost. I want to see you again. In bed, out of it, whatever. I like to pretend that I'm impervious to ordinary things like feelings. That my focus is so precise and laser-like, nothing can push me off the path I set for myself back in sixth grade. But as I stare across the quad at some girl rubbing up against Tucker, thoughts of Harvard and perfect grades and sticking it to all the haters are pushed aside by a rush of green jealousy. I want to march over there, whip out my phone, and shove a screenshot of his sext in front of her face. See? He's mine! I'd snarl, and then I'd drag him away. Or maybe I'd throw him down and ride him in front of the entire Briar campus. B, You're looking like you don't know if you want to kill Amber Pavalis or fuck Tucker. Either one is illegal on school grounds. Hope laughs in my ear. Amber? Her name is going in my burn book. I don't have time for this, I mutter, shifting my books higher in my arms. I'm not sure if I'm talking to myself or Hope at this point. Both of us, maybe. How are you defining this? Your sudden obsession with Tucker or your maddening refusal to actually allow yourself to enjoy life? If your eyebrow goes up any higher on your forehead, it will officially be part of your hairline, is my non-answer. Being around you causes these weird tics. Hope waggles both eyebrows. Do you make these faces in bed with DeAndre? Is it some strange fetish of his? You know what DeAndre's fetish is, and it's not my eyebrows. Oh God, right. I'm sorry I brought it up. DeAndre's ass preference has not gone unnoticed by any of Hope's friends, but it's not something I like to dwell on, not even as a distraction from Amber. Miss Thang is currently walking her fingers up Tucker's arm while he listens intently to every stupid thing that comes out of her stupid mouth. I mean, she could be telling him about Nietzsche's theories of nihilism, but it'd still be stupid because Tucker's enraptured. Are we going to stand here all day and watch the Amber Tucker show, or are we going to eat? Their names don't even sound right together. Their celebrity nickname would be Tamber or Ocker, and both options are dumb. Mine and Tucker's celebrity name would be Sucker, which could either refer to sex or to the way I feel right now. Like a sucker. Because why the hell is he flirting with some other chick after sending me that sext? Eat, I grumble, but my legs are propelling me west, which is not the direction of the dining hall. You know Carver's to our left, right? Hope sounds like she's trying not to bust a gut. I barrel to a halt, but it's too late. Tucker's head lifts and he spots me. I can feel the warmth of his smile from here. Oh shit, this was a mistake. 3 nights ago was a mistake. 1 week ago was a mistake. Stomping across the quad like a jealous girlfriend is definitely a mistake. I grab Hope's arm and walk very quickly in the opposite direction. I'm starved, let's go eat. You realize that running is something I only do on the treadmill while wearing my sneaks and running gear, correct? She trots next to me, trying to keep up on feet that are clad in expensive suede boots with a heel as tall as my hand. I walk even faster. Can't hear you! Embarrassment is short-circuiting my nervous system! If embarrassment is causing your malfunction now, I'd love to know what it was that caused you to run across the quad. As if she doesn't know. Before I can respond, though, Tucker shows up on my right. Where's the fire? He drawls. Hope grinds to a halt. Thank God you caught up with us. She runs a hand across her forehead in an exaggerated motion. I'm not cut out for outdoor exertions. Stow it, Hopeless, I hiss out of the side of my mouth. She grins unrepentantly. I'm going inside to save us a seat. When you're done, come find me. She reaches past me to give Tucker's biceps a squeeze. You're welcome to join us, handsome. Someone growls. I hope everyone thinks it's my stomach, but by Hope's broad grin and Tucker's smirk, I know I'm busted. At least Tucker has the decency to wait until Hope's out of earshot before he opens his mouth. Ignoring my texts again. It was one text, and it's only been 3 days. I stare stubbornly ahead and not into his gorgeous face or his deep brown eyes. But who's counting, right? I don't even need to look at him to know he's smiling. It's in his every word. We stand there for a moment, neither of us speaking. I suppose he's looking at me while I'm looking at everything but him. Finally, I find my ovaries and turn to face him. The smile has worn off. Now he sports a slightly quizzical frown as if he's decided I'm a puzzle that he's trying to solve. 12 questions whirl around in my head and I take a moment to sort through them until I arrive at the one that bothers me the most. The horrible scene with Ray before Tucker left my house on Friday night. I went to Harvard the other day, I began awkwardly. I sat in the lobby and some student mistook me for a poor person in need of legal aid. Shit. I wave off the sympathy. After I told him I was actually going to be attending Harvard with him next fall, I went to see the professor who's good friends with my advisor and she told me to buy new clothes. Up until this weekend, that was probably one of the more humiliating events in my life. Well, if you don't count the day in middle school when I unexpectedly got my period during gym class, while climbing a rope. He chuckles. Ouch. What? You hearing all that shit that my stepdad said? I pause to shudder. That's a scene I'd like to erase. Sabrina. I cut him off. My life is like one horrible episode after another of The Real Housewives of South Boston, Slum Edition. And if I don't keep getting perfect grades, if I can't compete... My voice cracks slightly and I have to stop. Tucker doesn't say anything. He's watching me with an indecipherable expression. I clear my throat. If I can't compete, then I can't get out of there, which frankly is unacceptable to me. So while sex with you is so goddamn amazing, it's distracting. You're distracting, I confess. He lets out a slow, steady breath.
Baby, you think you're the only one with an embarrassing family member? My Uncle Jim is literally one of those creepy guys that give the uncle stereotype life. He's always touching his family members in weird ways. None of my female cousins want to be around him. If I brought you to a family reunion, he'd be making some gross statement and trying to grab your ass. I don't think you'd hold that against me, would you?
No, but... I start to say that it's not the same, but we both know that's not true. It is the same. Ray isn't my dad. He's some douchebag my mom married and left behind like an unwanted piece of luggage. Like me.
And despite what you think, I don't have money. I'm here on a full-ride hockey scholarship. If Briar hadn't offered that, I would be at a state school in Texas.
He shrugs.
I have some savings, and I plan to use that to jumpstart my post-college life, but I'm not the asshole you think I am.
I don't think you're an asshole. I mumble, but I don't deny that I'm leery of guys with money. He studies me for a moment.
Let me ask you this. Dean's trust fund earns more in interest in one quarter than what my entire inheritance is worth. Did his dick feel different when you were with him?
I cringe for a moment because my drunken hookup with Dean De Laurentiis isn't something I like to dwell on. At the same time, the thought of Dean's money making his dick feel different is so silly I can't stop a snort from coming out. I don't remember. I was wasted and so was he.
Did you feel like $1 million the next day?
God, no.
So money doesn't matter once you get down to it. Doesn't matter how thin or thick anyone's wallet is. We all hurt, we all love, we're the same. Your past, who you live with, where you come from, it doesn't have to matter. You're creating your own future, and I want to see where the road forward takes you.
Tucker slides a finger under the strap of my messenger bag.
We should get some food in you. How about I carry this while I walk you to the dining hall?
Apparently philosophy class is over, which I'm happy about because I'm not prepared to respond to anything he just said. Instead, I let him take the bag. We walk in silence for a few steps before I'm compelled to ask, "Does nothing shake you?" He nods solemnly as he hitches the bag higher onto his shoulder. Anyone else would look slightly ridiculous with a backpack strapped to his back and a messenger bag hanging off his shoulder, but somehow... probably because of his massive chest and height, he pulls it off.
Yeah, all kinds of things. But I try not to let them get me down. It's a waste of energy.
Just name one, I beg. One embarrassing thing, one flaw, one thing that bothers you.
You not calling me back bothers me.
That's self-effacing, not embarrassing.
You've turned me down twice,
he reminds me.
How is admitting that it bothers me self-effacing?
Because we had good sex, so you know I'd sleep with you again under different circumstances, I argue. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I acknowledge that this conversation is reaching ludicrous levels. I'm arguing with a guy I slept with about how I can't sleep with him again because he's too good in bed. My life is officially a farce.
What's a normal circumstance for you?
He asks curiously, matching his long stride with my shorter one. I don't know. I can't see that far ahead. He pulls to a stop right before the entrance of Carver Hall.
Bullshit.
What?
Bullshit. You know exactly where you want to be in probably 50 years, not just the next 5.
My cheeks heat up because he's right.
Listen, here's how it is.
Tucker reaches out and grabs a stray lock of my hair, rubbing it between his fingers before tucking it behind my ear.
I enjoyed sleeping with you. I enjoyed hearing those sexy little moans you made when I sucked on your clit, and I enjoyed feeling you shake like a leaf when you came apart underneath me.
His dirty words are in stark contrast to the matter-of-fact tone and the steady way he stares into my eyes.
But I didn't like the way your dad...
Stepdad, I correct.
Stepdad treated you. I hated it, actually. I hate that you live with that, and I'm glad you're making your way out of it because that's what you're doing, right? You're killing yourself to get perfect grades, top scores, admission to the best schools, all so you can escape. His thumb drags along the apple of my cheek. I don't want to be a distraction, but I do want you. I think there's something here, but I'm a patient guy, and I'll take what you have right now. I'm not here to add pressure on you or make things harder. I want to ease your load. My heart thumps loudly in the space between us, the space that he closes with one step. My dad died when I was 3, he says gruffly. It was a car accident. I have almost no memory of him. I do remember waking up hearing my mom cry at night, though. I remember seeing her face when she couldn't get me a new pair of skates or a new video game. I remember how she got angry with me when I was roughhousing in the living room once and I put a lamp through the television. She reamed me out good for that. His expression is rueful rather than angry. She worked 2 jobs to make sure I could play hockey, and when I graduate this spring, I'm going to take her away from all that hard work. But I also know I want someone to share my life with. My mom's lonely. I don't want that for me. And I don't want that for you either. When he kisses me, it's not anything like our previous encounters. Those were rough, hot, and sexually charged. This kiss is petal soft and sweet as the syrup he ladles onto his words. It feels like he's pouring tenderness over my head by the gallon. With each press of his lips against mine, he's repeating his promise to give me nothing more than what I ask for. And it's this kiss, this sweet, tender, thoughtful kiss, that scares me more than anything I've ever felt.
Chapter 11. Tucker. A couple days after my talk with Sabrina in the quad, I heave myself off Fitzy's couch and get ready for a brutally early morning practice. I didn't plan on crashing at his place last night, but our video game session lasted until 2 a.m., and there was no point in driving home when we had to wake up at 5:30 for a 6 o'clock practice. Fitzy lives alone in a shoebox-sized apartment in Hastings. His bedroom is separated from the living room by a curtain he hung from the ceiling. Getting to the tiny bathroom pretty much requires me to climb over his bed. The big tattooed hockey player is sprawled on his stomach, sleeping like the dead. So I not so nicely smack his ass as I head for the bathroom. "Wake up, dude, practice," I grunt. He mumbles something unintelligible and rolls over. I find a spare toothbrush in a drawer next to the sink and tear it open. As I brush my teeth, I scroll through my phone to see if Sabrina texted me when my phone was on silent last night. She didn't. Damn. I was hoping my speech and that amazing fucking kiss might have changed her mind about going out with me, but I guess it didn't. I do, however, find the most mind-boggling conversation in the group chat I have with my roommates. All the messages are from last night, and they're bizarre as fuck. Garrett. The hell's D? Dean. It's not what you think. Logan. It's hard to mistake your romantic bath with that giant pink thing in your ass. Dean. It wasn't in my ass. Garrett. I'm not even going to ask where it was. Dean. I had a girl over. Garrett. Sure. Logan. Sure. Dean. I hate you guys. Garrett. Heart. Logan. Heart. I rinse my mouth out, spit, and drop the toothbrush into the little cup on the sink. Then I quickly type out a text. Me. Wait, what did I miss? Since we have practice in 20 minutes, the guys are already awake and clearly on their phones.